We continue the simulation that we're in.
But we're in the third inning.
We're in the third inning.
The third inning.
Bases are loaded.
Yeah.
Jake on first.
The three man on. Three strikes, you're out.
Jeff's on second.
I'm obviously up at bat.
Who is retired?
I think you should be on third. And the universe is at bat. And we're going to see if it's going to hit us home.
Very well put. I see that like on like one of the, like somebody posting that like on Instagram with like a picture of the Milky Way in the background. It's like a motivational fucking poster. Yeah. That's so funny.
Here you go, people with those motivational memes. Make it. Yeah. Do it.
You better fucking. Oh, I guess you can't copyright that anymore because it's. I don't know
what. I don't care, man.
Like, yeah, no, it's just really, really funny.
That's for use.
Pretty nice.
Just like Woody Guthrie, who made all his music, I believe. For use as well.
Yeah.
Or at the no. Or maybe it was at the very least it was what is it? This land is your land. Yeah.
He made it like Creative he made, Commons.
Yeah. That was the one. Yeah. I think that was the one that he said he was like guy. This is free, like free use.
He's like he also invented Wikipedia too and made it. Oh no, that's somebody else. Yeah.
No. Woody Guthrie I think really did that with This Land Is Your Land.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Yes. Early 20th century.
Yeah.
Man, he had that guitar with the sticker that said, "This this machine kills fascists." Or something like that.
Yeah,
I thought that was so cool.
Early members of Antifa.
Ashton's son did Alice's Restaurant.
Is that
Arlo Guthrie? Arlo Guthrie.
I didn't even know he had.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
It's like a anti-Vietnam War movie. It's actually pretty cool, and the song is really cool. Alice's Restaurant.
Alice's Restaurant.
So it's like a 15-minute song or something. I want to say it's like super long, and it's all the story. The story of the song is about him being a conscientious objector to the Vietnam War.
Whoa.
Right? But it's like, but it's during the whole thing he does this sick like finger picking thing. It's Arlo Guthrie, so Woody's son, and then they made this movie about it, which is it's actually a decent movie. It's kind of weird at times. I think it was like the 70s. Whatever, so
this about the song.
About the song,
essentially.
Yeah. I mean, kinda. It was. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Very loose.
Yeah, but they were related.
Loose. Yeah, but great song. Yeah, great song.
Did either of you ever think about joining the military?
No.
No.
Although now that there are drones and I do play a lot of video games, like it'd be a little bit different. But back in the day, absolutely not. And I mean, what the fuck could I possibly do? I mean, I guess if I studied to be like a medic or whatever,
it is. But like, it is a lot safer than people think. It's you know, being in the military, even being in active combat, it's not even in the top 20 of the most deadly occupations.
Wow.
The number one is I think logger. Logger and lobster fishermen are like in the top. Taxi drivers. Whoa. Taxi drivers are much more at risk than soldiers.
Really? I get what you mean. But the long term effect of like being a soldier.
I'm
like,
glad you stopped me because I was about to disrespect the military.
No. I said no way. Like I wouldn't like at that time I would never have joined. But like you know, flying a drone like from like the comforts of like down the street from my house or whatever. Yeah.
Well, see, that was gonna be my point when you said like it's not you're like it's not even the top 20 or something. Yeah, or it is the number 20, whatever you said.
Yeah.
But my thing was in joining it. Even if you're doing something that's non-combat related, you're still working one of the gears of the cog machine. Of the
right.
machine.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
So,
well, that's what JP was saying, like in the long-term effect of what it has on you, right?
Right.
Well, and then like post-traumatic stress disorder from being in the combat for sure. I mean, that's way worse than any kind of physical for me, I think, because that really is just changing who you are, right?
I assume so. I've never. I guess
but like I saw an interesting statistic, which is during World War II, only 15-20% of the soldiers were willing to fire at the other side.
There are some great fucking listen to Jocko Willink's podcast. He has tons. He like does book reviews. Tons of stuff about World War II. Tons of things like that. Like,
isn't that crazy?
There's like, stories that I've never thought about.
The Nazis are like. Are charging against the Allies, right? At like Ardennes or something like that, like in at the Battle of the Bulge or something like
but
that.
But most of them weren't really trained. They were very hastily trained soldiers. Like they were not like ready for that. Like they had to. They had no choice. So like you don't.
Are you talking about the Allies specifically?
Both sides. They would like charge, sure, but they would. I mean, like, can you imagine charging? You're like, I don't know if I can do this, and then you're like firing or whatever, you know. Right. But I mean, they would fire. They would like fire off into the sky. You know, they wouldn't even like fire at.
Interesting,
people. Isn't that
both
weird?
Sides?
Both sides, both sides. I don't know if it's I don't know if that extends to like like the Japanese military,
right?
Or, like, Chinese,
but at the very least, you're speaking about the European theater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but which is really crazy. Like, I'm trying to imagine if I was in a war, right? And it was like my life depended on me firing at that other guy. Really, I wouldn't.
You know, my great uncle was in D-Day in World War II.
Really?
And I remember talking to him about it. And
that's awesome.
And he was supposed to be 101st Airborne.
Oh,
and
wow.
To be a paratrooper that day.
Band of Brothers.
Yeah. And so, but something happened with their plane. So instead they had to go by boat.
Dang.
To the beach at Normandy.
Dang.
Yeah. And so I remember him saying, at the end of it, he just, a lot of guys he knew from town were dead in the water. And I remember him telling me later, he just said, you know what? He said, no matter what, he said, I would never wish war on my worst enemy. I would never do that. And he was a good guy, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and he was in the war for about a year. And then he got injured and he got sent home. And yeah, he just, I mean.
Did you have to go to war then for World War II for Americans?
No, everybody enlisted.
No, Vietnam was the only one with the draft.
There were guys committing suicide because they were 4H, what is it called? 4F? Whatever it is. That they couldn't qualify physically to become soldiers. So
there was so much glory in that war.
Yeah.
So much honor.
Yeah.
It was in America, bro.
Yeah,
World Police.
Team America. Oh man, I was watching the Ken Burns documentary series on the Vietnam War. Is like, I couldn't get through it. I was just like, this is so pointless.
Yeah,
like, it's just such a waste. It's like when you're at the restaurant and you like see someone like leave like 85% of their food
right.
on the table, and you're just like,
why
did
you even have that?
You see the food, and come over to pick it up. Like, I've literally gone over and been like, you know what? I want that. I'm gonna take that. Like, if the person looked clean,
You know what? I don't even think you really. As soon as he said that, though, there was a part of me that thought, "Good on you for not wasting food."
Yeah.
For not wasting a resource.
It makes me sick. Like, it makes me sick, the idea of like that much waste, right?
You know that the U.S. wastes 45% of the food that it consumes. Or that it
really?
Intends on consuming.
Well, how much of that is just like burning crops because there's too much? Because I know we do a lot of that. Like, the government pays people to burn their own crops to keep them, like, to keep the price up. Right?
I'm not sure about the, like, the specific,
too much,
like,
supply.
I haven't fucking thought about that.
Oh, no.
My head's going to go fucking wild
with
that.
It's ridiculous. And we don't import food either, like, because we want to have our own food supply. So, like, this whole idea
of sugar, free like
the, trade.
To make the sugar price. Like,
yeah,
that.
The whole idea for free trade is actually kind of bullshit. Like, we don't import wheat from other countries because we don't want to become dependent on
it. No, you're right. The statistic was 45% of the food it produces.
Right, right. So they're burning it, like burning corn and stuff. Like, okay. How much, like, and get paid to do that.
So that's mostly not
why are we so
regular,
dumb?
But that's not regular people. That's the majority of that statistic would have to be from the, like, whatever big companies are.
Agribusiness.
Like,
still,
agribusiness.
Still,
agribusiness.
How are you?
No,
such
no, no, no.
A
I'm against
idiot.
It, of course.
No, right.
But, like,
but how is a human?
Yeah.
An actual. Okay, let's go back.
Yeah.
Real quick, let's
most
look,
people
we,
probably don't know.
Let's
though.
Open
I
the
didn't
folder
know that.
On the desktop of the simulation program we were talking about. Those people are programmed to do that.
Yeah, well,
but it affects our programming.
What's crazy? Okay, I'm gonna tie this to like the company I work for now. Right, it's like a marketplace, right, between like
mm-hmm.
teachers and students. So we do things that are, and any company will do this. Any startup will do this. Any company will do this. We do incredible, incredible waste. But the reason is, like, there's some other department somewhere really needs that for you to do that. You know what I mean? Like, we really need to spend this money, even though like this is going to be an incredible, huge waste of money. We have to do it because of the effect that it has somewhere else. And I know that like
you can't eat government.
Well, I know that in like the government, there's got to be that thing where it's like you're like, if I allow this food to go out there, then it will reduce the price of the wheat, which will mean that we can't afford to do like this thing, and then you know thousands of people will go off Medicare, which then they'll die. You know, and then you're like, well, we have to burn this corn or else people will die. And it's like there's weird connections between, once you get into like building, like having a system, right? There's weird
connections. So you're saying in the system, it is necessary to waste?
Yes, it is.
Waste is necessary.
It is. And a lot of it is due to like human pride and people keeping, like maintaining power, of course.
You know what I think it is? I think it's, you know, if the wheel, or no, what is it? If it's not broken, don't fix it. I think that's what it kind of comes down to. Because
but we would waste things that were like biodegradable. Like now we don't do that, which is the big fucking problem. Like we used to, like everything used to be biodegradable. So like if it's like a constant like thing of like wasting, we were meant to waste or whatever. If it was natural, it was going to be used in a good way, in quotes, whatever.
I mean,
it just seems like that's the system. The system, like you just said with your company, their system is, okay, we're going to waste money here because it's going to do something. If they had a different system, it's like,
I know it's super weird. But like, for example, like going to the moon, right?
Right.
Like when we went to the moon, there wasn't really necessary, and it wasted, like, hundreds of billions of dollars, right?
Wasted? Because I feel like wasted has this negative, it obviously has a negative connotation.
You could say that we wasted that money, right? Like, because
none we of want, money, we wanted to bankrupt the Soviet Union, who was trying to do the same exact thing, and it ended up being like that. That's like what ended up happening.
It did it. And of course we got like side benefits of everything you can imagine, like plastics and computers and, you know, like rocketry and stuff. But you could say that, like, you know, your key metric in life is like lifting people out of poverty. Did it do that? No.
Right.
You know,
right.
it didn't do that. Maybe by extension or something like that, it kind of did that, right? But I mean, most of what we do, I think, I'm pretty sure, like, there's like 60% is like self-interest, you know, like, so there's someone out there who it's like, this is my job, and like I kind of have to like do this to maintain like my authority or something like that, you know. We do it all the time. Like I do it all the time, where it's like, this is your key metric, you have to do this, and so okay, I'm gonna do it, but I disagree. I think it's, you know, we should do this. Well, that's not your job, so just keep doing it. I know. The bigger the system gets, the more of that happens, right? The more that happens. If you're like a living on an island by yourself, you're not gonna like waste one coconut, right?
So it's all about the environment.
But like once you get to maybe 100 people, hey, we're gonna sacrifice this cow, you know? Well, great, I'm hungry. No, you're just gonna like burn it. Yeah, but why? For the god, you know. But I don't see a guy. Okay, but listen, you if you say that again, he's gonna kill you tomorrow in your sleep, something like that. Really? Yeah, he's totally gonna kill you in your sleep. That ability, actually, we were talking about sapiens earlier, right? This idea of fictive language, that is what separates Homo sapiens from every other type of human.
Stories.
Lies.
Lies. Right. Yeah. Right. I was going to bring up like the stories. Invention of lying.
The invention of lying, exactly. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Did you know? Every lie is a story.
Yeah.
You're making it up.
I mean, when you tell a story, you can't tell a story. The story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears without lying.
Right.
You're lying to your children.
Right.
You're lying to them about Santa Claus. You're lying to them about,
it's Jesus, fiction, right? A lie is fiction. A story is fiction.
Right.
Unless it's, I mean, something that actually happened.
That's the reason in that book that they say, like, that, you know, before the invention of fictive language, a.k.a. lying, you couldn't say something like, we're descended from the bird people from that bird rock up there, and that means it's our sacred rock, and the person who can touch that rock is the king of our people. And, like, that's the only way you can get an organization of humans that's bigger than 100 people, right? Because that's the limit. If you look at chimpanzees, like in a tribe of chimpanzees, right? It's 100 to 150, yeah. right? Because the only reason that they'll stay with you is, hey, when I'm with this guy, I get more food, right?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as there's a famine or there's some kind of problem, like, you know, hey, this guy, I didn't get food. Yeah, let's hit him with rocks until he dies. But if you hit me with rocks until I die, the eagle is going to come down from that rock and he's going to crush your nuts on that spiked barb that I hold. Well, why do you get to hold a spiked barb?
Fucking punishment of the ass. Jesus Christ.
Because of the eagle, right? So then you can have thousands, millions of people under one thing.
Right.
We're all Babylonians.
Right.
What do you believe in? Babylonian stuff?
Babylonia.
Okay, well, do you believe in that Phoenician stuff? No, fuck the Phoenicians. No, they don't believe the Babylonian stuff at all. Fuck them and you know, fuck them in
this
there.
This reminds me of the beginning of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
That's literally what I thought.
The monolith and with the apes and then how the ape-like creatures and then they...
Yeah.
I mean, even though you're talking about, you know, lying and that produced...
They have that higher purpose.
I had the same exact thought.
Yeah.
So remember we were saying at the beginning of the show, like, that everywhere the humans go, that, like, mass extinction follows, right?
Right.
Right after Homo sapiens evolved, right? Mm-hmm. Which is 250,000 years ago. Suddenly, like, at that time, there were six other types of humans.
Right, yeah.
Six other types.
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
Seven types of humans sharing the Earth in 250,000 BC, right? Where did they go? I mean, if you look at the record, kind of smoking gun, we probably killed them.
We literally had the smoking spear.
Yeah, we
kind of killed them all, right?
Yeah.
And I think that this fictive language thing was what was able to, like, we were like,
do you think we told them things like, you know what, like, let's say, for example, there were a group of humans, right, and a group of Neanderthals.
Yeah.
And the group of humans and the group of Neanderthals come to a fruit tree at the same time.
Yeah.
And the group of humans, who's like, hey,
that
man,
guy over there,
look,
he ate it.
I saw your friend take a bite and he dropped down dead.
Yeah.
We're gonna get rid of this. You go chill and you know what? I saw a nut bush over there.
It's super good. Oh my god, there were so many.
Right?
They were tasty, delicious.
Yeah, they have these spiky things on them that, like, they turn your tongue red, right, when you first eat it. But you gotta keep eating. You'll just get over it. Yeah.
And then
eat those leaves, the ones with the five leaves. Yeah, it'll be itchy,
but it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good itch.
Do it a few times. Yeah.
Natural selection will get rid of all those.
Exactly.
So,
but we're keeping all those people now, like those like idiots. Now we're keeping them.
We kind of do.
Like,
yeah. Well, now
we're
we do
keeping
that.
Them.
Yeah, so we're
there's no natural selection
look,
anymore.
Again.
Stop
look,
fucking
I,
saving people.
I would not be here if it were not for modern medicine.
Really?
I'm a diabetic.
Oh, right.
You're dead.
Yeah. Of course.
If my pancreas can't work itself,
dang.
You know, that'd be it.
Wow. It'd be like you and people with nut allergies would be like.
He'd be on the nut spike.
That's right. So, okay.
Well, I would wait. I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't believe a lie and repeat it. If that's your time out.
No.
Different. We're lying technology.
The other interesting thing from that book, though, is you know, like different people have different percentages of Neanderthal DNA. Right.
Right.
You ever
heard
this? Right.
Yeah.
Like Asians, for example, have a very low concentration. But then, like, Caucasians have, like, up to, like, 3-4%. Like, we would have...
Well, because Asian people actually kind of... They're from a different one.
Yes,
yeah, one of the different humanoid
Homo erectus.
Creatures.
But which, by the way, Homo erectus was around for 2 million years.
In this area of the world.
In this area of the world, right? 250,000 years ago, Homo sapiens evolve, and then suddenly Homo erectus is, like, wiped out.
Mm.
It's like, what could it possibly be?
But then they also still kind of...
Well, then, okay.
Because there was interspecies breeding, man.
That's the thing. If you look at that in that book, they show, like, what did Homo erectus look like? And I'm looking, and I'm like, that looks like, if I was to draw a really extreme caricature of an Asian person.
Right.
Look like that.
Right.
Right? Neanderthal is like a very extreme version of like a white person, like basically you're like I am Sven type, you know,
right,
a Viking warrior, right? And
that's
then there
the
was
last thing I was thinking.
And then the one that was in Africa, which is Florientus. No, sorry, can't remember. But
the one with the A,
yeah, that one, yeah, very like African looking, right?
Right.
So kind of makes you, I mean, like think. Hey, okay, Homo sapiens comes in, kind of wipes everything out, but every once in a while has a baby with one of these, right? And there you get the origin of race.
Yeah.
From those three different species of human.
Right.
Neanderthal, Homo erectus, and whatever the third one is, which is the
Fluid.
I want to say it is, but I think that's that might be the one.
Well, I mean, there were like six, right?
Australopithecus.
Yeah, something with an A.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, it's crazy. And maybe this is like revisionism of like people, like the guy who made the model of, whoa, I wonder what Neanderthal would look like. Let's make him look really, really white.
Right, you know, like, right,
something
right.
Something like that. But it kind of like blew my mind, like reading that.
You know, I was looking at my phone for this picture to show you. I had gone to the Natural History Museum in Washington, D.C. I always go to like to the Smithsonian ones when I visit my sister. And in the, there was the one section that had the evolution of Homo sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
And it started from, you know, the oldest, you know, over 2 million years ago and then, you know, so on. But then they had the other ones that you were just talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had, this was so, it was so creepy because they had these very realistic, lifelike models,
yeah.
You know, wax sculptures.
Yeah.
And their eyes really looked like at any second they could just turn and look at you.
Oh, geez.
Jeez.
And so, and it was, and, you know, most of them were shorter than we are.
Yeah.
But of different color and different, you know, different look and everything.
Yeah.
It was just... And yeah, there were like six.
So the other thing that's interesting too is like the development of humans, right? I mean, if you go back in history, 75,000 years ago, there was a volcanic eruption, Krakatoa, that covered the sky for 3 years in a cloud that was impenetrable by sunlight. And so all the plants died in Eastern Africa, which is where almost all the humans were at that time. Not almost all, but like that
the largest
concentration. There were about 2 million humans.
On Earth?
We died, yeah.
That's
we
a small
died,
number.
I know. We died down. There was only, I think, at the end, based on our mitochondrial DNA, we know that we all of us, all humans, are descended from about, I think it's 2,000 of the survivors of that event.
How can they tell that from the mitochondria?
Because it's passed down, like one mitochondria, it's the exact same mitochondrial DNA comes down through the female side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever you have, you can tell like where it came from. Kind of not real clear on
like,
the details there.
Clear
but
from like where from, on Earth?
Well, yeah, from which original like woman. You could actually trace it back to one particular primate, right?
Hmm.
That we are all descended from because mitochondrial DNA doesn't change from one generation to the next, right? But the crazy thing is, if you think about that, and you look at like also the record there, the archaeological record, you start finding really good spearheads, which kind of makes sense if like there's no plants around, you kind of have to eat animals only,
right?
And the animals, they don't have plants to survive on either, so you're going to have to be hunting very small animals now who are going to be like quick,
mm-hmm.
Or you're going to have to like corner, or you're going to have to use language to catch and really sharp and accurate,
right?
These things. That is the time when language would have like gone crazy, right? Because you're like, now we have to make really advanced plans. How do we catch the, you know, the iguana
right.
so that we can eat today? Because there's nothing else to eat, right?
You had to communicate.
Communicate. Ooh. So that's where I mean,
because
like,
before they would just forage, and
right?
Really
and also eating only meat, as we know, mm-hmm. like develops our brains,
right?
Like, our brains larger and things like that. So it's just like, I don't know. I just go back to that stuff. You think about again, like we were talking about. We're programmed, or like our environment creates us, or whatever we are. You know, what are you going to go back and say, like, oh, we by the will of our, you know, by the strength of our will, we became thinking humans? Nah, not really. It was kind of like, yeah.
It just there was a human that just sat there for millions of years, like, I'm going to get
I'm
better.
Sick
I'm
of this
get
shit.
Better.
I want cities.
Yeah.
The fuck's a city? You'll see.
You'll the mold
see.
On the bread.
Yeah,
that's what the cities are.
You'll see.
It's you know, and then it's just really, it, as we were talking about earlier, it's just really interesting to think of where we came from and then where we're going to go.
Yeah.
Because we still, while it may be programmed, we still don't know where we're going to go.
I don't think anybody knows. That's why you run the simulation, right?
Yeah.
So that you can find out.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, shit, how
Dude,
fun would that be, you know?
Imagine the day when we create simulations.
Yeah,
we have virtual reality now.
Yeah, so, yeah, like, essentially.
Like, have you tried it? It's fucking insane.
Yeah, like, yeah,
how
yeah.
realistic.
Well, you know, that was one of the thoughts about the Fermi paradox. Why we haven't met other intelligent life or civilizations, because one possibility was that they would become so advanced that they would have no need to go out and look for other life or anything, because they would just create the reality themselves and live whatever they wanted.
Way better.
So they would never leave their host star. They would create their technology to the point where it was just completely self-sustaining and self-sufficient.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Some people, you know, like in the Matrix, right?
Yeah.
Totally makes sense to me.
The sex organs of the robots, that's what we are.
Can you expand on that?
No, I can't.
JP is a penis.
No, but yeah.
And there's a vagina out there.
No, but we're making the robots that are just eventually.
He's saying that humans are the.
Because we are the ones making this technology.
Right. Are the reproductive organs of technology in that sense. So
I'm putting.
That's Terrence McKenna.
Yeah? I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like you either in the future you're going to learn how to program and do like machine learning and to code and stuff like that and build shit, or else we're not going to be needed anymore.
Yeah.
Seriously. I'm like, basically our only job is going to be like training robots how to do like what we do. Where it would be like, what's your job? I got a pack of robot dogs. I'm trying to teach them how to be, you know, like how to take care of senior citizens. Oh, that's cool. So what's going to happen after they're all trained and then they like have all the technology or like all the software? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know.
Get paid.
I don't know.
Isn't that like what like a cashier at a supermarket basically is? Like she's just her idea, her like she's just there to make sure everything's working.
The first thing that happened when New York, when they raised the minimum wage in New York, was the first McDonald's opened up with no cashiers.
Yeah.
I just saw a burger flipping robot. The first.
Yeah, I saw that.
Robot.
Here they have an April's Gourmet. Cashless. Staffless.
In our building. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So how do you get what you need?
Oh, it's in your building because there's one that's really far, like out in somewhere out.
Chingyamo. Yeah. So in the basement of our building. So what you do? You walk in.
Oh,
doors.
I didn't know you live out there. Okay,
I don't. I just work there. Oh. But like, you walk in. The doors open like automatically on the way in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're carrying anything. They all have RFID chips, so that if you're carrying anything that hasn't been checked out, the doors won't open to go out.
Mm.
Right, so you have to pay first, and then the RFID chip gets deactivated. Well, not deactivated, but like it says, okay, you can pass.
Right,
and then when you walk out, you can actually take the stuff out, and the doors open.
Like the things on the clothing.
Yeah.
Right. Security measure.
It's the best thing ever. Seriously, I mean, it's shitty because they don't have a good selection. Like, it's not as good as a regular April Gourmet.
Right.
But man, it's like exactly what I want.
So you buy it, and then you just say,
that's what you want, but then we're not needed anymore.
Exactly,
right?
We are going to become.
Well, wait,
humans
it's not
are
that
not
we're
gonna
not
be necessary. We're very wasteful. Remember, I was saying I hate
it's
waste.
True,
we're
but again, it depends on like again going back to Elon Musk, how we develop it and how we develop ourselves, because at some point, we're going to have to tell ourselves and really look at the situation and say, we can't keep doing this.
But
we
die.
That's it. Either we go extinct, the simulation's over, or we learn and we stop all that bullshit and continue on. Because like you said, there might be a point when robotics and AI say, you know, we don't need you.
Yeah.
We already know what to do.
It's coming
and
soon.
Then,
but here's my question, right? You know, the closest habitable planet that we know of is TRAPPIST-1, right? It's 40 light years away, right? It means it takes light 40 years to get
40
there.
Or 4?
40.
But isn't Alpha Centauri the double one, the binary?
But
isn't
we don't
that 4?
Yeah, but we don't know that that's habitable.
Oh, okay.
Right? We're almost positive.
Oh, you're talking about
TRAPPIST-1
itself.
That, it is habitable, right? But do you really think that we're going to send humans out there that we have to like support them, give them like oxygen, food, you know, all that stuff? Or are we just gonna beam shit there, right?
What it depends on what our ego wants to do.
Yeah.
Because our ego will say, fuck that robot, I wanna go do that.
Yeah.
Mm. That human wants to be fucking hero because he wants to get laid. And so that's why he's
alien
going.
Pussy. That's what it's all about.
Maybe.
It's all about alien pussy.
Lands on the planet. It's like, what can I
fuck?
I want to ask this question. Could you imagine if humans and aliens could have sexual, like,
I mean, I think about it.
I mean, there's like,
no,
that would be insane.
Well,
that
yeah. would, dude, is that it? Would is be... it? Wouldn't that, like, if you took the story of Zeus when he comes down as like yeah. a swan and mates with like a like yeah. a human? That's like,
well, basically that's kinda,
a story like that.
Well, what's crazy is that so we have 23 pairs of chromosomes,
right? Right. Like
23 pairs is exactly what we have. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you hear that? 23 yeah. pairs.
24. So the chimpanzee has 24 pairs, right? And if you look at the 23rd chromosome, you can actually see, literally see, that the chimpanzee's, the 24th chromosome of a chimpanzee has been severed and merged with the 23rd to create something new. Our DNA is only less than 1% different from a chimpanzee, right?
It's the Anunnaki, man. They came from...
Wait,
the
so you're saying someone purposefully...
That's the ancient alien theory. The Anunnaki came down.
Right.
They became the Sumerians.
Right.
And they like they literally engineered us as a slave race to mine for gold, which then they got. Then they bounced.
Yeah. Was this what you learned at Chichen Itza?
So, and the,
what?
Did you learn this at Chichen Itza?
Oh, no. I learned this on the History Channel.
Yeah. So, aliens. But no. So, I mean, I think it was probably...
No, but that is a story.
It was like, a mutation. Like, it was a... Yeah.
Okay.
No, I believe that. Right. I believe that.
You believe that?
Story. I believe that.
No, that's a story. It's in the Book of Kings or whatever.
I've heard of this story.
Yeah. Whatever their,
but again,
however it happened, however it happened,
about lying in story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that makes more sense though than like the mainstream stuff that people believe though.
Well, I'm. Does it though?
Right.
It's
well,
all. Yeah. Kinda,
well, we can do that,
but
we
you
can,
can't prove.
Oh no. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Somehow it
can't
happened.
Prove it.
Somehow it happened.
Well, they were there. I mean, there were Sumerians. Like,
but yeah. were they? But okay, we
they have a writing
day,
but we cannot fully decipher.
That the
there's
linear,
only like,
linear B.
There's only right. like five. I'm not five. There's like 10 or like some like people that could actually read that.
Yeah.
One of them was Sitchin. That's why he wrote all these fucking books about that stuff.
How old is the Sumerian language?
4,000. 5,000 is what mainstream archaeology would say. Would
and
say
the Egyptians older. Were after that, right?
No,
the
no.
Egyptians were
No. The Anunnaki were first. The Egyptians came. So they actually would be that, more. It would
five,
be longer.
That's what I mean. So Sumerians
were first. That's Mesopotamia.
Right. Yeah. So that was that's older
first.
Than the Egyptians.
Egyptians, yes.
Agriculture.
And we still can't. I mean, like with hieroglyphics, do we fully understand?
Yeah, hieroglyphics. We know.
Hieroglyphics we do because of the Rosetta Stone.
There's linear A and linear B are the two languages. There's also some what is it like Crete or whatever the like Cretan language or something like that
mm-hmm.
we haven't figured out yet.
Right.
There are also some hieroglyphics in South America that mm-hmm. as of the time that I was going to school anyway we still hadn't deciphered. And there was one woman who
dude, it's been more than 50 years, bro.
Like, yeah, it's been about 50, 60 years since then. So we didn't really have computers then, so we didn't have like yeah, but. But yeah, so like, yes, there's tons of shit, you know, that we
the lost knowledge,
but I,
right?
I,
well, that's what
I
that's what I'm
super
saying.
Surprised.
It's like religion and like
yeah.
I don't know. It's lost knowledge. How
I
there's
be
no there's
and you
no
look at
way
Mars. You look at Mars. Mars had running water on it. We know that now.
Right.
But we do know that like men like us actually wrote like the Bible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But like before, like before like Sumerian before Sumerians, what do you have? Before Sumerians, what do you have?
Less Sumerians?
I forgot what my point was. God damn it. That's why I know he's laughing at me. I forgot what
we
my
have
point
was.
I don't know how many we have, but we have
Sumerians.
Sumerians.
Yeah, less Sumerians.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm glad this is degraded like this.
Some Sumerians.
Sumerians.
Many, all right, so we have many Marians. And
now we're many Marians.
Very manly many Marians.
Now we have no Marians.
Written language and such.
All I'm saying is we don't know for 100. Like for
yeah,
100%.
Yeah, of course. Probably we just evolved. There was some mutation and... Look, every species
oh.
out there is a result.
Well,
of
my point is was that we do know that they wrote the like there's like actually people in the 1400s that wrote like the Bible, like the New Testament that we know today. Absolutely.
Well,
but
absolutely.
But going back to the original point, which was he was talking about that the chimpanzee chromosome,
yeah.
the 24th one is
fused
yeah. with.
It's cut in halves and then it's fused together, right?
Yeah.
So in some way.
Well,
that
what if like it says
inside.
That in one hieroglyph that we don't understand?
Well, then
I mean, the Bible was turned inside out when they found this Dead Sea Scrolls.
But,
like,
okay,
it was all different stories to that. So,
we're not talking about the Bible, because you're talking about the Anunnaki, and then we're talking about stories. But I want to go back to this about the chimpanzee, because the mutation could have been caused in any way, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I just don't want to... No, you guys both believe that there were extraterrestrials who came down and edited it, and then we were made from them?
I'd go more with the Stone Age theory than that.
That, I think, seems a little
Because, like, what, 200,000 years for our or 2 million? Or 200,000?
I think it was...
It was a short time.
The short amount of time where the Homo sapien brain, like, doubled in size.
There's absolutely no way I can explain this. But, like, the podcast with guy, the guy who studies mushrooms, and how he says, like, the mushrooms, like...
Oh, right,
like,
right.
Are really the ones that are, like...
Well, have you ever heard that theory?
What?
That basically with
taking mushrooms,
Amanita muscaria, and like the psychedelic,
or even like
mushrooms,
Moses, who was next to the acacia tree,
and
that like gives
mushrooms.
Off the gives
all
off.
Right,
like
but,
that,
but again, you get why you keep going to
the Bible,
this biblical area.
Yeah, why not? Raised Catholic,
Moses.
Catholic school. God,
I
know
too.
All that shit.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that was they think that it was because basically those humans had discovered these mushrooms and then just. Continued eating them.
I'm all in favor of that.
And tripped and just evolved.
They saw all this shit. Like
every trip I've ever been on, I've thought of that.
Mind opens up a lot more.
Your mind opens up, and you just
absolutely
certain things you understand. Like the first, I remember, like the first time that I realized like how ridiculous the idea of like racism is. For example, was when I was on mushrooms, and I just like it just. Suddenly, like, occurred to me how ridiculous and how this is not even going to be an issue one day, right? And that even though it's like
wrong,
you know what I mean? When people evolve, but I wouldn't have ever, like, grown up as a kid, I never would have, like, I didn't even realize that, for example, that I was, like, raised racist,
right? Do you think that when taking mushrooms is putting you back into that mindset from possibly 2 million years ago when humans did not have that?
I think,
and that's where
I think it
that
allows,
feeling kind of comes from.
It allows you to see and experience the world without ego.
Well, yeah,
so that all of your
actions
are completely in alignment with what they should be, right? And I think natural humans wouldn't have concepts that we've brought into the world, such as like marriage like, you know, sitting at a desk at a job for, you know, 9 hours every day, for example, like things like that that are just actually incompatible with human existence.
Right, we're not meant to do that.
We're not meant
to do any of that, right?
Right.
And so you can't, I think, like some people will be like, oh, people who do mushrooms, they're just like lazy and stuff like that. No, I think that they just understand that the living condition that we're in now is not the living condition that humans are supposed to be in. Right?
You know, one of my favorite parts of camping is when you know you're gone for the week or the weekend, and when you go to sleep and you wake up, you do not care about time.
Yeah.
You go when you are tired, you wake up when you are rested, and that is it.
I've never thought about that. That's such a,
I did that close to 5 years when I was running my business, because it was, you know, it was all online.
Right.
So time meant nothing because I was in China and most of my customers are in the US, but then there were people all over. I had VAs in the Philippines. All my stuff ran on code that I ran on a server that would just it would spin up, you know, all of the operations and the system that I had, right? It really became completely meaningless what day it was, what time it was. I didn't celebrate, you know, like there weren't holidays because I was in Sanya. You know, it would just be like, I think it's kind of time to go to the beach now. Now I think it's kind of time to work. And now it's kind of, it was work-wise, it was the most like blissful experience of my life, you know?
Wow.
The only problem was it got really lonely because most people don't do that, right? And so it was like people would be like complaining about their jobs and stuff. And I actually started feeling like jealous of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'd be like, my boss said this, and like, and I got my paycheck 2 days late, and I was like, you get a paycheck? Like, you know, like somebody else, like, make sure you're gonna eat every month, you know, like, because for me it was just the only thing I was living off was just like the anxiety, like, you better make that dollar or else like you won't be able to eat, right?
Okay.
You won't be able to pay for Drake's medicine, whatever,
right,
like that. And that was what fueled me. So it was like, it was a very natural state, and like I really, really enjoyed it. And, but I just, The problem was, it's too, the system that's set up is too alluring. The idea that someone will pay you, you know, and that you can rely on that and that they'll continue to pay you, you know, and that actually freedom is terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. Freedom, being alone by yourself, doing your own shit, like,
if freedom were easy to live with, people would be doing whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, in any way.
They'd be like the happy hunter-gatherers.
They would be super happy. If freedom today were easy to live with, you wouldn't have almost any of the problems that you have today, in a sense.
Yeah.
With people and with, you know, the way that they live and their just mental health and everything.
The hard thing is the ego, though. Like I said, like, you know, the idea that, for example, like marriage, for example. I always, like, say, like, marriage was definitely invented by men, right? Because if you think back to, like, the time before there was marriage.
That's true.
And invented women. Invented by men?
Definitely invented by
men.
I
could totally see that.
If you think back to the time before marriage, right? When women were just like, sleep with, whatever, I'm with the tribe, whatever, like that.
Yeah.
Okay? The son is born, right? A son is born.
The entire tribe would raise it.
The entire tribe would raise it because who knows whose kid it is, right? But we all know it's that woman's son, right? So he has to be respectful to her because it's like, you know, you came out of my vagina, like, you know, you better, you know, feed me when I can't eat, whatever. But the men, hey, stop playing with that jackal or something like that. Yeah, I don't know, whatever they did back then. I don't know. Punch the jackal. They didn't have many games back then. They, you know, they didn't have. Hey, they didn't have scissors. Let's play rock paper. Just, whatever.
Let's play rock.
Okay, ready? One, rock. Two, shoot. Rock again.
They have a rock and they just like smash it.
So, so you wouldn't respect men, right? You would respect women because you'd be like, that's my mom. But like men, you'd be like, it's just a guy, right? Yeah. So men would be like, oh shit, like I have to make sure that she only like has sex with me. So then. Later, when the kid gets older, I can be like, you came out of my balls one day, right? I put you from my balls into your mom, and then, you know.
Like, I made you.
I made you, exactly.
Yeah.
And then he'll have to listen to me. And then, so how can I need to figure out a way to keep her, like, somewhere safe, like a safe, you know, like a vault, right?
Like a home.
I'm going to do that, and I keep her in there. I want to make sure she stays there, and any other guy touches her, I'm probably gonna have to kill him, something like that, so that these kids will respect me, and then they'll take care of me the way that they take care of her.
But most importantly, I still get sex.
Right.
That's what everything's about.
Exactly. Ooh. Exactly. So men definitely invented that. But if you take out marriage, for example, and you have freedom, right? Now that means your girlfriend can, you know, have sex with any dude she wants, right? I don't think most guys could open their mind to that idea, right?
Of not being now, open. But if that situation we
back then.
But that's what I'm saying, is like that's matter. That fucking programming.
Right.
That's like but when you're on that
who gave us that patch, man? I didn't agree to that.
But yeah, the marriage patch. I mean, it's a fucking pain in the ass if you ask. I mean, like
it's
the
Windows 8.
I don't know.
It's the Windows 8.
I think about
it. It's the Windows 8 of life. Like
it's the Windows 8. Oh my god, Windows 8 is so bad. It's so true. Oh my god.
Like the time for fucking upgrade.
Like if everybody did mushrooms, I think that would be a normal thing. That people would be like, marriage is so arbitrary. It doesn't matter if that kid particularly respects me. Let's have all children just like respect whoever does benefit to them, whatever. And have
but you did mushrooms, you got married, and then you had a kid.
I know. Well, I still had a ton of ego that I've, you know, now like, you know, been able to like kind of let go. But it's still, I mean, all that stuff is still like, I like.
Do you think if you, because you just said you had a lot more ego, do you think if you had...
He said he let go of his ego.
Yes. Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, do you think that if you had had less ego back then, would you have still gotten married and had a child?
No. No. Because for me, like, one of the reasons was, like, I wanted control of something, right? That's why you marry, right? You want to control. Oh, this is mine. I want to have my thing, and this is mine, and she's mine, and this isn't my kid, and then he has to listen to me. And, you know, like,
if
it were that easy.
I run him, right?
right.
And the ironic thing is, the more you're like that with kids, and with women, too, the more they're like, I kind of don't want to be with you.
Mm. Yeah.
I kind of want to do my own thing. You know what I mean? But the more you're like, look, I'm going to teach you, listen and learn from me from my examples, like, I've, you know, whatever, or don't, and, you know, be a dumbass, and, you know, and go and, you know, and it's weird because when I was trying to control Drake and was like trying to like, mm-hmm. you know, like when he was really young, I'd right. be like, learn the alphabet, and I would time him how fast he could write the alphabet. So like, you're going to be a high performer. You're going to do all the sports and stuff. And what I found was he had zero interest in anything that I wanted to force him to do.
Yeah, well, that happens. Like,
and now the way I do it is I'm like, and I do this with all kids actually. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people, like they try to make friends with kids,
right?
And kids are like, they're strange,
right?
But if you're like, you got a toy and you're like just playing with it by yourself, and you're just like, they look at you and you're like, yeah. So. They'll be like, I fucking need that right now. Yeah. I need to learn how you do that and do, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's exactly what I do. I just like, I'll be like, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be like, oh yeah, I get to, yeah, I can't wait to wash the floor and mop in and stuff.
You're churning butter right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm churning butter. Well, no, there's a special. And Drake will come up and be like, Dad, can I kind of want to do that. Like what your day looks like. I'll be like, it's a really big mop. I don't know if you can. Dad, I can do it. Look, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to wash the floor and stuff. And it's mostly for adults. You know, he'd be like, I can do it. And he'll totally do it. He'll wash the whole floor. But if I'm so, like, you wash that floor, if I tell him to do it, he won't do it. You know what I mean?
Going back to this fictional language that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fictive language. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I have to pretend I like all kinds of shit that I
right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have a kid. I can't
I hate that. I fucking hate brushing my teeth. I hate flossing, all those things. I hate doing it. If I could go to sleep, if I knew that my teeth wouldn't turn to rot and I would have terrible breath, I would never brush my teeth. I don't enjoy it.
Well, yeah. I don't think anybody would, but that's why we do it, because we have to, you know, if we didn't have to do it, we wouldn't do it.
There,
right?
There are people who are like, is there a good time to do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but that's not good. We
you're not
experience a lot of those taxi drivers here.
Ooh. But I have to pretend though that, like, you know, that I really enjoy it. I'll be like,
right.
Oh, it's, you know what time it is. It's almost toothbrushing time.
Right.
I'll be like, I'm going. I don't. You do what you want.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And
okay.
They'll be like, well, Dad, I want to brush my teeth.
Okay.
I mean, I get. Oh, hey, look! Here's all the stuff right here. Here's your toothbrush. Wow, cool. You know, it works. It's a really like a alternative parenting method. I know.
Parenting tips by Jeff.
Yeah. But that's it. Yeah. So I don't know. I really been thinking a lot about this programming thing though, because it's like that we do all kinds of shit we don't want to all the time. You know. And which is actually counter to what you, like, you guys actually live in a very, like, you know what you like, and you do those things, you know? And I really respect that you guys do that. And I've told you that before, that, like, you don't do the things you don't want to do,
right,
Jake?
And, yeah.
Like, you know, JP, same, like, you don't. And this allows you to live in a way that, where you allow other people to be happy, too, because it's like, they might put their shit on you and be like, Jake, I want you to do this. I want you to become a doctor. I want you to do this. And you're like, nah, I don't really want to do that. But in not doing that, they're like, oh, I'm very disappointed in you. But they get over it really quickly. And then for you, you don't have to live a life that you don't enjoy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, that was me living, you know, the life that I didn't enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Being, you know, married to the wrong, two wrong women. Right.
And two.
Yeah. Because I before Drake's mom also. Yeah. I had a
in
first
the
one.
U.S.?
Yeah. And it was all this, like, growing up and thinking you had to be this thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Again, the programming, you know, which was... Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, 2 years into my marriage with Drake's mom, that was when I, like, started growing my own mushrooms. And I was once a week, you may have to edit that.
No, I'm looking at time.
But,
Portobello.
Because we're almost at 3 hours.
These great portobello mushrooms.
Portobello mushrooms.
And once a week, I would go out to a place in the U.S. This is a place
right.
in the U.S.
Right. Have a portobello mushroom sandwich.
And have a portobello mushroom sandwich.
Yeah.
But
delicious.
For 1 year.
Yeah.
For
once a week.
Once a week.
It's a lot of portobello.
I would take my...
You got a portobello from that.
I did. And I had to go to the porta potty. You know, and I had to go
right.
back to Port-au-Prince.
What was your, you did this for a year?
A year.
What was your tolerance level? Like you had to obviously started with about, what would you start with?
I started with 2 grams.
Okay.
No, maybe like 1 gram, right? And that would be if it was dry.
That's very
right?
small.
Yeah.
That's a body high though.
Yeah, it was not right? that much, right?
Okay.
Which you have to eat about 10 grams if they're fresh,
mm-hmm.
which fresh is the best.
Yeah, I thought it was 3.5 is like.
3.5 is you're seeing.
I would never fucking eat 10 grams. What?
No, 10 grams fresh. 10 grams fresh. 10 grams fresh will turn into 1 gram dried. Right. Hmm. So, but 2 was typically like my thing where I didn't like to do too much. Sense. If I went 3 or 4, I was seeing the face of God. Right. I was seeing like full on kaleidoscopic vision.
Right.
Like,
right.
I have a very low tolerance in general. But yeah, I never did more. The most I ever did was 5. And that was like, this is too much. I never want to do this again. Hmm. But I never had one bad trip. Not one bad trip. And it was because the more you let go of your ego, the more likely you are to be able to enjoy
the
next
time. What was the average intake?
2 grams, maybe 2.
So you wouldn't like have a bad trip because you wouldn't really be tripping. You'd be just having like an intense body.
But he just even said he had 5 and still didn't have a bad trip.
At 2 grams.
Well, yeah, but
at 2 grams an hour in, you start to see, you know, the wood grain in this table.
Yeah, it's swirling.
Right?
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, I love that too.
Powerful portobello.
Yeah, powerful portobello. But yeah, but typically it would be like hiking and doing that, and that was when I started to really understand, you know, that I had this ego, that I had this chip on my shoulder, and that I was trying to live this life, you know, that was programmed.
You know, I had some wonderful portobello tea when I went back in February with a friend of mine, and we just went out. He has a nice little house in like the swamps of like near Williamsburg, Virginia.
Yeah.
And we had some wonderful portobello tea, and I just remember sitting, like lying on his trampoline, and just it was the most relaxed I have. There's just moment.
Did you feel like you were melting? Because I did that.
I just felt a calm. I just felt a real calm because, like you said, this ego. You know.
Yeah.
I think it's great to do that because it diminishes the ego,
right.
And it's a nice reset. Yeah. For me, it resets me
and understanding what's important to you, what you really want.
It keeps me on track and it keeps me level. It's not something that I think one person should just be a glutton on. You can't. Yeah, it's not beneficial. It's not just like anything else. Ooh.
Yeah.
And so I just remember I was at such peace and calm with myself, and I was just so like relaxed. My friend looked at me and he said, "Man," he said, "you know, it's really interesting, just all the thoughts that keep coming up." And I said, "Man, I don't even have one right now."
Wow,
that's really good for you.
It was so great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because I definitely get a lot of fucking thoughts.
Yeah, No, I mean, I love...
After the fact.
But you get that too. That. Of course that happens.
I love that.
But I just remember at that moment, for me, it was just something I felt like I had not had how long.
I think that the war on drugs, I think the primary purpose of it is to keep us invested in the capitalist system. Because when you are in that state that you just described, sitting, like, laying on that trampoline...
Mm-hmm. You don't need to go buy anything.
You don't need shit.
Yeah.
Need shit. You realize that you have everything that you need. The gratitude, like the feeling, the sense of like, wow, fuck, all I need is just to like be me and like lay on this trampoline and enjoy my life.
Be with people.
I got food. I got my friends. I got this day. I got, you know, my health, whatever. You know, and that was the thing that I started to realize, that was that like I had shit for gratitude. You know, I had no gratitude and shit. And like, and it still took me like 2 or 3 years to really get over my like ego and jealousy. Like that, for that to happen, it was like I had to have a very traumatic relationship with a woman who just made me feel jealous all the time.
Right.
You know, and then finally like break out of that and just be like, I need to be able to. The reason that I put people at unease, because I would put people at unease, was because of my intense desire for everything. You know. Mm. I always had a game that I was running that I wanted something out of everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just puts people at like a what the fuck do you want? You know, kind of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They pick up on it.
Yeah, exactly. People pick up on that. And learning how to be content and be grateful, but also have goals, that was the thing for me. Because then, like, I went from being like, I need this, to going to like, I have everything I need and I'm going to be lazy and do nothing.
Right.
Which I did tried that for a few years and I was like, shit, nothing's happening or changing in my life. Like,
because all that shit just runs out.
Yeah, exactly. To like kind of eventually like being like, I'm happy with what I have now. I'm very grateful for everything that I have. And I also want to get to the next level where I can maybe help people more, right? Where I can like do shit to like help Drake.
Right,
and then
right.
Move on from that and then one day be able to like, be one of those people who like, I don't know, goes to like goes to charities and shelters.
Right.
Because that shit is really, like, it's really meaningful.
It's rewarding.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, it feels good.
Yeah, and so, but I, shit, when you're, like, always in have desire, you don't even have time to, like, to take care of yourself, right? Because you're just like, no, I'm
just focused on
you.
Yeah. So, well, you have, like, ads thrown at you all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and that's why
that's where the anxiety comes from, right?
Right.
Yeah, is that, like, the job that you used to have? Like, you're, like...
No, pretty much still have, yes.
Shit.
Definitely still have.
Man, like, I remember Bill Hicks had a joke. Remember the comedian Bill Hicks?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just remember he started off, he's like, if you're an advertiser, you just go fucking kill yourself. It's like, fuck you. Yeah. Like, he just, it's like, I just, totally. You know, and he would talk shit about them and their job.
Yeah.
It's like, you're just trying to program people.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get them to buy shit they do not need.
That's
hey,
why.
It works very fucking well,
That's why.
The new modern art. That's marketing's art.
Do you remember, okay, we were talking about the internet, like, days before the internet stuff. Do you remember when YouTube had no ads?
Yeah, of course.
Amazing.
I remember when Facebook had no ads.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that,
too.
Yeah.
I remember when Google had no ads.
Yeah.
I mean, shit. But, I mean, that's like, so for me, that was why I left my last job, because I was like, literally the only purpose of the finance industry is to make more money, right?
Right.
And to suck money from poor people who are too stupid to know that it's a tax and put it into the pockets of wealthy people. So the thing I do now, at least, like, it's getting people to go and teach, you know, kids in China. It's not selling something to them. And I've thought about that too. Like, it would be really hard for me now with my current beliefs to take any other job, because if Coca-Cola offered me a job, I'd be like, fuck no, I'm not gonna sell that shit. Mm. If Mars, like M&M Mars, I wouldn't be able to fucking, I couldn't, there's almost like, I don't know. I've like, and I never really had like a, I never had thoughts about this before, but like, you know,
but
like,
now you
do. In the last couple of years. Yeah, exactly. And I think now it's like, I'm interested in what marketing can do for, like, kind of, yes, changing people's thoughts, but about the important shit. Like, for example, like, maybe we shouldn't consume so much. Maybe we should kind of, like, give a shit, like, what we do to our bodies.
See,
right?
What's important is to make this simulation, the best outcome possible.
Well, that's what Elon Musk says, is that even though he believes it's a simulation, we still got to go to Mars, because you still got to play the game, right?
Right.
If it is,
still got to play the game.
You still got to play the game. And if you don't believe that, then you really might as well kill yourself, right? Because then it's all meaningless,
don't
right?
Do that.
But again, don't kill yourself, please. But then again, if you do kill yourself, according to my philosophy, it will just be something that was programmed to you anyway. Right?
So you were going to do it anyway.
You were going to do it anyway, so I'm not responsible.
Jump.
Neither is JP.
Create your own patch.
The views of the speakers on Perks of JP are those of the explicitly of their own views.
We've done 3 hours and we're about to...
We'll wrap it up.
Yeah, it's 2:15 in the morning.
Shit.
Yeah, it was nice.
Thank
you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, man.
For sure. I'm sure we'll do it again.
All right. Is there any kind of outro? Do we play the same song that we...
No, it would take too long. No, it would take too long.
We have no time.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. I'll just,
Black hole the podcast.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Have a good night, everyone.
Shout out to humans everywhere.
Yeah. The program.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.